narcissistic abuse is experiencing epidemic proportions in our nation and worldwide. My guest today has a book called You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse, and we're going to discuss this topic thoroughly. She says, a narcissist is someone with an extreme sense of entitlement who blames you for their problems, is manipulative, and has no empathy. Narcissistic abuse may be mental, physical, financial, spiritual, sexual, or all of the above. If you have been through a relationship with someone who has narcissistic personality disorder, you will know that no one understands what you are going through unless they have been through it themselves. Melanie has a treatment program called Quanta Freedom Healing Technique, which we will talk about. So, from Australia, our guest today is Melanie Tonya Evans. She's a healer and author, radio host, and considered to be the world's leading online authority on narcissistic abuse recovery. Melanie, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you. Hi, thank you for having me on.
Okay. So, I think I kind of described a narcissist from your point of view, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I think I would like for you to tell us, however you would like to do it, about your journey with a narcissist. I think it was your husband that probably got you into this book, right?
Look, when I'd love to hear about that. It was, well, I was 35 years of age. I'm in my early 50s now. And I met the man who I thought was the man of my dreams. He was spiritual. He was kind. He was considerate. The connection that we had was very, very instant and very strong. And I really did believe that I'd met the man that I'd spend the rest of my life with. So it was really quite interesting because I was swept off my feet. I was married very, very quickly to him. And as things progressed, and even before marrying him, there were warning signs. There was absolutely some things that didn't add up. There were weird kind of things, that controlling sort of comments and things that he would say and do. And I really dismissed a lot of it because this was the person. When he was delightful, he was delightful. So I was like, well, you know, that's just a little bit of a thing. That doesn't mean too much. And as time went along, it was discovered that he was faking a cancer condition, which he pretended was terminal, which didn't even exist. He was also somebody who had a past of financial disaster, and he was making out that he was wealthy. He became incredibly jealous and controlling, violently even. And I was so hooked and enmeshed with this man. I'd ended up buying property with all of my money that was in my name, but yet he, when things were absolutely terrible and broke down, and I was on the run for my life at certain times regarding this relationship, he took possession and ownership of the property. I ended up, to get out of the relationship, which I tried to do so many times, and I was addicted. I was hooked to him. I believed that I could fix him. I believed that love could conquer all. In amongst all of this, I still believed that he was my soulmate for life, and somehow I could put this right. And when I ended up having a complete psychotic mental, a complete breakdown, which was a psychotic breakdown as well as an adrenal breakdown, and I was told at that point in my life, when I was 80 pounds, I had constant complicated post-traumatic stress disorder. I had agoraphobia. I couldn't even leave my front door. I'd lost my friends, my family. I ended up losing everything that I'd worked for up to that point in my life. I was 40 years of age at the time. And I was actually told when that I would never recover. And I would need to take 3 antipsychotics for the rest of my life simply to have any level of function. So at that point in my life, I really believed my life was over. My family and friends had been manipulated into believing that he was a great person, that I was the crazy one. I'd lost credibility. He had smeared my whole community with a lot of lies, which a lot of people did believe at the time. So I really had nobody. I had no resources left, an incredible amount of debt, and my health was destroyed. And I really believed that I was never going to be able to make a comeback from here. So I'd given up. I had literally given up. And at that point in my life, I surrendered. And I just went to my bathroom and I hit my bathroom floor and I put my arms up above my head and I just yelled out, help me, because there was nowhere to go and there was nothing left to go on with. And it was at that moment in my life that I had a startling clarity and epiphany that entered me, which was all about the Thriver Mission and everything I've written about in my book and all the healing system that I applied to myself to heal the unhealable. Took me 18 months after that point on my bathroom floor to truly find the answers, but I ended up doing a complete medication-free journey, which was all about healing from the inside out, detaching from him, completely letting go, and finally finding those broken, unhealed parts of me that unconsciously had led me into a situation like that. And to be able to heal those and exercise him from my being and all of the hooks and the addiction to him and all of my powerlessness, to be able to get not just free of him, but to get free of a lot of my limits and a lot of my internal patterns that have been plaguing me my whole life. And that's what led to Thriving Win and creating this system of Thriving Healing, which now, you know, beautifully is in over nearly 100 countries worldwide, and we have people from all over the world. This mission now, this way to heal in a revolutionary way, has now touched the lives of over 10 million people over the last 10 years. So it was the greatest blessing in disguise, which I didn't know at the time.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to get into your program here in a minute, but I just released a book called The Definitive Guide to Recognizing and Avoiding Romantic Scammers and Catfishers. And I remember when I wrote that book after 6 months of research, and these could be narcissistic abuse people too, but they don't have to be. If you find out that you're talking to a scammer, there's only one solution to the problem. Run as quickly and as far and as fast as you can. And I would say that that's the same advice as if you run into a narcissist, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, look, definitely, you can't reason with them. You can't make sanity out of insanity. And you can't, expecting a narcissist to play fair is like asking an alligator to roll over while you scratch its stomach. You know, it's not going to work. So when you, it's hard to do, because when there can be so many reasons within us that we're not letting go, and our head's giving us excuses and justifications. And I found when that, there have been lots of people, even when they know. You know, I knew I was with a pathological narcissist, but until I knew how to release those parts of me that were keeping me hooked up in it, I was going to be the first person to cure it. I was going to be the first person that would get him to see sense. And I've met so many people, thousands and thousands of people, that it believed or wanted to believe the same thing. That even, that's a difficult thing when, even when you know, I love what Prima Chodron famously said. What she said is that we're not going to stop doing the same thing and we're not going to stop having the same experiences until we learn what we need to learn from them. And then when we change, everything changes. So knowledge is great. It's really good, but I don't humbly believe that it's the full and complete answer. But it can help. But when we have healed enough and we know what we're dealing with, 100% detachment from a narcissist and removing yourself and your life from them in the best possible way, or creating boundaries to stop more damage happening, and detach and stop feeding the bear. We have to stop giving them energy and put the energy back into ourselves. That's the only way to get free of them. 100%.
Yes. Okay, so I want to help my listeners understand a little bit what more than what you've already said about what they're up against. And I'm going to read you just a little bit from Freedom from Addiction 3. It's my most recent book on addiction. And I said, sociopathic behavior, a subclass of addiction, doesn't fit the medical model as well as some of the others, but because it has the same cause as the others, if any treatment is going to work, this would be it. And to date, there is no other routinely successful treatment. Maybe you have an idea on that and can tell me in a minute. But individuals exhibiting this type of behavior have been around for centuries. They were thought to suffer from moral insanity in the 1880s. Around the turn of the century, they were called psychopaths. In the 1960s, they were called sociopaths. And more recently, these people have been diagnosed as having an antisocial personality disorder or a narcissistic personality disorder. But whatever you're going to call these people, they have no loyalty to anyone other than their own desires. And they're unpredictable, and they lack any connection or attachment to other people, and they use, abuse, and manipulate others for the sheer pleasure of it. And one of the most frightening aspects of this type of personality is that these people operate under a guise or mask of sanity. Now, characteristically, these people are intelligent, charming, devoid of feelings of guilt, shame, or remorse, and are unable to learn from their own experiences. They lack the ability to feel fear for themselves. They are impulsive and unpredictable. They are often unreliable, and they are insincere. They lie when conveying an impression of the deepest sincerity and truthfulness. They are narcissistic and incapable of feeling real love for others, and they're also compulsive liars. But, you know, Ted Bundy, the mass murderer, he was a very nice guy, and he killed so many young women as a photographer and everything. He was a narcissist. These people are very dangerous, and if you escape your life, that's good, but they can take your entire life away, like you said. In my case, when I ran into a narcissist back 20-something years ago, it cost me $1.75 million. Yes. And so if you don't learn from your mistakes, maybe you might repeat the thing. And I know that you and I want to put out the message that if you run into one of these personality types, get away as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah, look, absolutely. There's and the thing is, you know, too, what I found as a thriver, which is kind of what we call ourselves in the community, is as going forward, when we're meeting people and interacting with people, it's very much about trusting your gut. You know, I think all of us, when we had sociopath enough, in our life, and you're right, Wynn, they're charming, they're disarming. You know, what they do is they fact find what you want to hear, they're very intuitive, they're very clever at working out what you want to hear, how to appeal to you, how to win you over, And the thing is, we can't change them. These people exist in the world. But as you said, we can develop, we can wake up, we can learn. Not really. I don't think it's our mistakes. I think it's just we believe the best in people. We're good people. We believe in the best in people. But what we learn is that we need to trust ourselves. We need to stop handing our power away. And if something doesn't feel right for us, we need to speak up. We need to be honest. We need to be prepared to lose it all to get it all. You know, what I've discovered through my deep research in inner healing and the healing that I've done with thousands of people from all over the world in the last 10 years is that all of us had a thing that wasn't shored up within ourselves fully. So like our own sense of love or approval or survival or security. So one of these people have walked into our life and they start presenting as the answer to that, the magic to that. And we've gone, oh my God, this is great. You know, you complete me in some way or you offer me an opportunity or you're bringing something to my life that I'm not necessarily that shored up with within myself. So we go along. Our inner gut is giving us warning signals. We all have an innate, powerful inner consciousness. That is our lifeline to God, if you like. That is warning us, is protecting us. But we analysed it away. We didn't want to believe it. And we didn't want to upset this person. We didn't want to risk losing them or being criticised or abandoned or rejected or punished by them. And I call that the skirmishes, the traumas of crap. C-R-A-P. Criticism, rejection, abandonment, punishment. And these are childhood wounds that we've got. So we're not showing up honestly saying, hang on a minute, look, you know, look, that didn't feel quite right to me. Can you clarify that? Or can you show me the evidence of that? Or are you okay for me to look into that? Because until I let you into my heart, my body, my business deal, my home, my finances, I need to know that you are actually credible, that you are somebody that I can trust, that's honest. And the thing is with narcissists, is we show up, and I've had plenty come into my life since healing myself, and I'm not scared of them at all anymore. Because if I'm authentic, if I'm honest, if I trust my gut, if I show up and ask the right questions, and I investigate, and I'm not scared to do that, you know, these people are exposed. They will crack. They will run for cover because they know you're onto them. They can only take us down if we believe their BS and if we don't investigate and we don't take a stand for ourselves. You know, when a few years ago I was on a date, I have a beautiful partner in my life now, but I was on a date with a man, I was single and I was healed and recovered. And this man's second date looked amazing. On paper, he was charming, he was attractive. And we were talking, and he was being really disrespectful about his work colleagues, really nasty. And I went to the bathroom, and I came back, and he said, how do you think our second date's going? And I said, well, look, honestly, the way you talk about your work colleagues is not the way that I run my life, and it's not something I enjoy hearing. I was honest, and he cracked right in front of me. He blew up like a bomb. And he was like, well, how dare you speak to me like that? And the date's over. And I walked to the car so excited. I was punching the air with joy. I'm like, perfect, Melanie. You showed up. You exposed this man. You know he's a sociopath. You get to avoid it. How wonderful. I was so proud of myself. So the thing is, these people are always going to exist. They're out there. You know, they are out there in droves, just like good people are. But it's about us changing and us backing ourselves and being willing to lose, you know, the old me after that date when I would have said, oh my God, but he was so cute and he's successful. And where am I going to meet a man like that again? You know, and I would have gone, oh, okay, all right, well, he was a bit nasty there. But look at all these other good stuff. Because I was in so many limiting beliefs about my life. I didn't understand the abundance and the source and being a generative source of my own experience. And this is what I love about when we can heal from these people and become really source-filled and in our power, we leave them behind in the dust where they belong. And we start generating life with really abundant, fulfilling people and situations. And that's a lot of what, you know, my work is and what my orientation is. So we don't have to keep rolling around with them. We can sort them out pretty quickly.
Well, Melanie, you know, you and I have a handle on that type of personality, but most of the people do not. Now, as a result of what you've written in your book and what I've written in my book, you should get a gut feeling that something isn't right, right? And then if you get that gut feeling, what would you recommend a person do?
Okay, well, you know, that's a really great point that I just want to look at, Wynn, because you're absolutely right. People don't know, you know, like what these people are, and maybe it might be really helpful if we just kind of, you know, tick that off a bit so that people can, you know, understand that these are some of the warning signs of these people. So, you know, some of the warning signs are, is the charm somebody that's just going to be so lovely and so attentive? You know, you're more covert narcissist. You're somebody, if they decide that you've got something that they can mine, you know, you've got something that they want. So it could be, you know, your looks, or you're successful, or you've got your life together, or, you know, in a business deal, they think that you're somebody that they can, you know, they can take money from and screw over. You know, they're going to be charming, they're going to be lovely, they're going to ask lots of questions, they're going to find out what makes you tick and provide it to you in spades. So, you know the saying, too good to be true? Look, it's really important we understand that. So if somebody's amazing, take your time to get to know them. You know, if you're dating a person, the thing is with a narcissist, the actions aren't going to match the words. People can say anything and profess to be anything. You know, like you could say, oh my God, my last two partners cheated on me. And a potential narcissistic partner will say to you, oh, monogamy is me. I never understand how people could do that. I've never cheated on anybody. And you think, oh my God, I've hit pay dirt. I've got the perfect person that I've always looked for. But they're just telling you what you want to hear to win you over. So we have to take our time with people, you know, and if you take your time, you're going to see the cracks. So what the cracks of narcissism is, they are going to people that they're always going to bring conversation back to themselves. You know, with a narcissist, it's all about them. So they know so much better. Their story is more important. You talk about something about you, and they say, well, you know, my auntie does this, or I do this, or whatever. And you will see that. That's a consistent sign. Also, too, they're going to invalidate your feelings. Like, as you go through any sort of relationship with them, we've got to show up and be honest. You know, there's something I need to talk to you about, and I'm kind of feeling a bit uneasy, or this is not right for me. And narcissists will tell you your feeling is wrong. They'll just say, look, you're having a bad day. They're not interested in your feelings and caring about you. No narcissist is. They can pretend to be, but they're not. So you're going to see things like that. They're unreliable. They don't care about doing the right thing. They're going to have a messy past. So there's going to be exes still hanging around, or there's going to be family cracks, or cracks with friends. There's going to be very few friends. You know, they have very disordered past and very disordered lives. So look for those signs. I just think if we take our time with people, you know with myself in the past, I used to feel that instant connection. I used to think, oh my God, and I'd believe in romance and all that kind of stuff. And I'd just get involved with people. But now it's like the current partner I have. I've been done over ferociously by two narcissists in my life, ferociously. One nearly killed me. And with the current partner I have now, you know, we've dated as friends for 3 months. And we dated really respectfully, and I got to know him, and I got to understand that this man I would have as a best friend. But, you know, if he wasn't a lover, he'd be a best friend, because his values, his character, his actions match his words. His values are the same as mine. He's honest, he's decent, he cares about people. No narcissist is going to hang out with you doing your due diligence and ascertaining them and taking your time. No narcissist is going to hang out and do that, because they need the payoff of narcissistic supply very quickly. As soon as a narcissist starts hooking up with somebody, they need to get the payoff. So if you don't capitulate, and they'll push your boundaries very, very quickly. They will insist. I remember narcissist number one in my life, after a week, he said to me, well, now that we're together, don't you think I should have a front door key to get in your house? Right? And because I didn't want to lose him and upset him, I went and had one cut. If somebody said that to me now, I'd be like, no. We're nowhere near at that stage. You know?
Yeah.
And if they, yeah, see, these are the things. These, you know, I hope this is helpful to somebody out there, because we can protect ourselves against these people. You know, there's a general consensus out there that, you know, narcissists can take down anybody. No, they can't. When we shore up our boundaries and our self-worth and our self-truth, and we really walk a straight line, honouring and loving and respecting ourselves, these people will not, they'll go off to easier pastures.
Yeah, they certainly want to take the easy way out, so they prey on people who may have the kind of personality that's going to do that, like people pleasers.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And you know what? We're not with most of us, because we've really been brought up to be good people, and we believe people. But also, too, a lot of us in our childhood, we had our power taken away. We came from a generation where children were seen and not heard. You know, we were very compliant. We did what we were told. We didn't want to risk abandonment, rejection, punishment, or criticism. So we were really taught to, you know, dumb down and keep people happy in order to be loved and approved of. So until we heal those parts of ourselves and really come from an adult, like, integrity within ourselves, you know, we can do it again without even realizing we're doing it. And narcissists prey off people that are nice people.
Absolutely. So you've developed something called the Thriver Model, right?
Yes.
Could you condense that into something to give our listeners an idea of what your model is?
Sure. When I was trying to recover from my complete breakdown with all of this, it wasn't working. It all I had was things like some strategies to try to manage my trauma, medication. There was nothing else. And fortunately enough, after the experience I had and the path that I went on, I realized that this actually wasn't about him. This was actually about healing the fractures and the underdeveloped parts in myself that I needed to heal to escape this trauma and these breakdowns, the breakdown I'd had with him, to become solid and whole in my own body and create my true life. So the Thriver Model, when is about not just mere survival. You know, we hear it all the time, I'm an abuse survivor. And I don't like that label, Wynn, because being an abuse survivor means that you still have post-traumatic stress disorder, that you still have a diminished sense of self and faith in yourself and life and others, and that you're pretty much going to have agoraphobia and a whole lot of things like fibromyalgia, anxiety, depression, because that's really the standard model for people that have suffered relationships with sociopaths and narcissists. So, and a lot of people don't survive that model. They really don't. They don't even survive that model. Mine my model of thriving is if we can find the original fractures and core wounds within us, instead of just trying to manage horrific symptoms, if we heal at the core, then there are no symptoms. And not just do we get free of these people, we also get free of all of our own limits and our own fears and our own negative false beliefs, and we become our true selves, living our true life. And that has absolutely been my experience and so many people that have engaged in my Thriver model.
So how do they start? By getting your book, by going to your website? What's the first thing they should do?
Okay, either or win, absolutely. You know, there's lots of people that have done both, but either path, those paths lead to home. So my book absolutely gives you those resources, and a lot of people love having, you know, the physical book because they're in bookstores all through the country now. You can find my book, you can get it online at Amazon, and you can physically have the book with you if you want, or the Kindle version or whatever you want. If you go onto my website, I have a 16-day free course, which really unravels and gets to the truth of all of this. And I also have a free webinar where people can come in with me and experience quantum freedom healing, which quantum freedom healing is the super tool that I developed, which is a way to access our subconscious traumas and programs, release them, replace them with source, and heal in record time things that would take us cognitively years, if ever, to heal. They can literally be shifted and healed within minutes. And you really do have to experience this to be able to understand how it works, because that seems too good to be true. But it's actually how I healed myself and how so many others in the community have healed. So you access that, and we have links to that in the book as well. So either way or both, you know, you can check them out.
It's available on Amazon.com, no doubt.
Yes, it is. And it's also through all the major bookstores.
Right.
Throughout many countries at the moment. So definitely throughout America.
So I noticed that the foreword of your book was by Dr. Christiana Northrup.
Yes, correct.
She's quite an authority, especially on women's issues, is she not?
Yeah, she's written so many people. You know, she's got iconic books. She's done amazing work with women's health.
Right. So I wanted to tell my listeners what she wrote on the front cover of my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. Christiane said, "I haven't missed a thing in terms of naming the deadening effects of addiction and also setting out a straightforward plan for exactly what needs to be done about it. There is not a person in the United States who could not benefit from your insights." That was a nice recommendation.
Right? Yeah, that's a beautiful recommendation. That's wonderful, Wynn.
She's one of my mentors. I enjoyed reading her in the past.
Yeah, she does some great work. Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about what is a narcissist. You gave me your definition. I gave my definition. And I think that if people see those kind of things, have a gut feeling that something is not right, they need to get away from that person. They need to go get your book, You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse. They need to get my book, Freedom from Addiction 3.
Yeah, absolutely. I need to get your book too, Wynn. I'd love to read it.
Okay, I'll send you an e-book.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so we've kind of defined what the problem is. We've talked about why some people are more easily taken in by this type of person. And we've said, you know, if you get in this situation, don't continue in the relationship. So what else, if anything, besides going to get your book, going to your website, Is there anything else that you want to leave with my audience today?
Yeah, look, Wynne, I'd really love to, because I think unless you've been through narcissistic abuse, which Wynne, you and I have, you know, you could never understand just how devastating it is. You know, it really is a soul rape. And the thing is, people even a long time afterwards still feel like, you know, that the black ink is still through you. You still feel like this person lives inside your head and your being. And it's mental, because you think, I can't stop obsessing about it. I can't move on. I try to move on and I can't. And I just want people to know that no matter how old you are or what you've lost, or, you know, your heart's been absolutely broken, I want you to know that there is life after this. Because when you're in it and you're in the aftershock of it, you may think, this is it. This is what I'm stuck for the rest of my life. And I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I promise you, there is a way up and out and through into the most incredible new self and life that you may have never believed was possible. And it's really my mission and my passion to help people achieve what they were born to live.
Well, there you have it. Melanie Evans and her book, You Can Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse. It's a great book. You ought to run right out and get it. Melanie, thank you so much for being on the program today, and hope that you'll come back again sometime.
Oh, Wynne, I'd love to. And thank you so much for having me. And so much love to the listeners.